Good morning, Lee. Well, for the first time ever in America, this is all happening. It's not being covered, which is so crazy. We are now going to spend about 30% of the federal budget on interest and for the debt. And we are now paying more than we pay for our military. Elon Musk saying this is a disastrous situation. And it is. And we're not talking about it. And that's what tells you it's the most important thing, because we're not talking about it. We never, in this country, we are very dysfunctional. We do not talk about the most important things. And when you look at this, federal deficit topped $1.8 trillion in 2024. That's the third highest in history. And the only other two are during the COVID-19 panic spending years, where we were cutting checks to people and paying them to stay home. So $1.8 trillion, what is that? That is what we must print or borrow every year now to meet the spending levels that we have. Not to meet the needs, but the ridiculous spending levels that we have. And by the way, Lee, that's not for lack of tax revenue. We are up nearly $500 billion this year. Record high tax revenue. So it's not that we're suffering and billionaires or somebody is not paying enough taxes, evil business owners. That's not it. It's that the greed of Washington for more cash to shovel into the machine is unprecedented. It's unprecedented. So that's a 10% increase, by the way, over last year and an all-time high. But the real shocker is the explosive growth in interest payments on the national debt. $882 billion. That's just interest. We don't get anything for that. $882 billion in fiscal year 2004, according to the Treasury report. Okay, that is a 35% increase from 2023. Let that sink in. Interest payment, $882 billion in fiscal year 24. A 35% increase from the year before. And for the first time, $8 billion more than we spend on national defense. So that this marks the first time in our nation's history that interest on the debt has exceeded defense spending. This can't continue. And what caused it was Her Highness doing these tie-breaking votes, where we decided to print $1 trillion here, $1 trillion every 3 months, 3 months beyond the budget. We've never seen in human history anybody print $1 trillion every 3 months. Nobody knows what happens if you do that in addition to the budget. Well, 9% inflation is what we found out. And that inflation hasn't gone anywhere. It's just being tamped down by interest rates so high that the middle class can no longer afford homes. So if you didn't already own your home before Biden-Harris took over, the odds you're going to ever get to, not very high. People can't afford it. My husband's in mortgage business. He hears this all the time. People say the same thing. Oh my gosh, when they realize what a mortgage would cost right now, it's more than double if you'd bought your house 3 years ago on the same house. People say the same thing, Lee. Oh my gosh, I couldn't afford to buy my house now. The house I live in. And that's us. We're in that boat too. We're stuck. It's a big boat. Issues and Insights nails this. How do we know Biden and Harris are to blame for this? Before they took office, the Congressional Budget Office projected, listen to this, net interest payments for the next decade based on the policies Donald Trump had in place. Okay. CBO said that the interest payment this year, it's not good. It should have been $284 billion. Again, that's what they projected in the last year of the Trump administration. $284 billion in the year 2024 would be what we would have to spend on interest payments. We don't get anything on that, just interest on the debt. She went so buck wild with her tie-breaking votes. They went so buck wild. Because what they were doing, Lee, is something we've never seen. For the first time, we have bills in which there's not a real dollar used. It's all either borrowed or printed. That's what caused this. So CBO had Biden never taken office, Trump stays in office, $284 billion interest payment. That's what it should have been in 2024. What was it? $180 billion. That is how hardcore they blew up the budget. And that's even with all of the money printing that we did and we shouldn't have done, but that we did to pay people to stay home with those temporary budgets. Still 284. So it shows you how when you print trillions of dollars like they did, what it does. Again, a 35% jump from just last year in the size of the interest payment. We can't continue to do this every year, but they're gonna. They're going to. There's no plan to change anything. And I could prove it. Kamala Harris on The View.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
She nearly tripled the debt payment on the interest. It's now bigger than the Pentagon. I mean, that is unbelievable. And if you want to know what she really thinks of Bidenomics and the, quite frankly, to use one of their terms, violence that she has perpetrated on middle class folks who just want to shop for groceries and be able to afford them. If you want to know what she really thinks, this is before she was the nominee.
That is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics. And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
There you go. And no, that's Kamala. Yeah. They don't care. They don't care that you can't afford your groceries. They don't care that this generation of middle class people that is coming out of their 20s and their 30s is never going to be able to buy a house. They're going to have to rent. They don't care. If you can even afford the rent, you're going to have, they are going to come in and they are going to print like there is no tomorrow. Why? Because all of their donors are going to demand it. And here's what they're going to say on the phone, you know, behind the scenes. We can't hear the conversations, but I know what they were going to say. Look, the voters don't realize where the inflation came from. They don't know what we did. And look, I wrote that big check to you. I bundled for you. I raised $20 million for your campaign. And I just need you to print about $100 million for these contracts I want. And look, you have no excuse, Kamala. The American people don't know what's causing the inflation. So we should continue printing. That is exactly how these conversations are going to go as they all demand payoffs. And you're going to pay when you check out at the grocery store. Or we could just elect Donald Trump. Look, it's not going to be easy going with him, okay? We're going to have to stop this printing. It's going to hurt. It's going to cause an economic downturn when we do it, but it would also avert a larger disaster. If Trump doesn't stop the printing, we're going to have a disaster. But I can tell you this, we're not going to have the looting level printing that we saw after the 2020 election, where it's just trillions and trillions and trillions more beyond the budget. It's just, how fast can we ram this down people's throats? And they did it all with one tie-breaking vote from Kamala. This is not popular stuff with entirely Democrat votes. So look, it's all on the line, folks. It's all on the line. They will break this country financially if they get the idea that you don't know what's causing this. And it's going to be like nothing we've ever seen. Or we could put Trump in office. We could put Trump in office. All right, over the weekend, coming up, Kamala Harris campaign admitting, well, you know, she likes oil, she likes fracking, but she's not going to allow any more of it. No, she's not going to stop the fracking for oil and natural gas that's going on now. No, she's just going to not allow any more of it. Well, that is stopping it. That is stopping it. I've explained this for a long time. We right now have record-breaking numbers in terms of our oil output as a country. Never output this much oil before. Why? Because Trump beat the Democrats in court and was able to get these leases moved forward. Kamala and Joe can't get out of them. But what they're saying is, we're going to stop the new ones. Okay, leases don't run forever. They dry out. That's why these oil companies, these natural gas companies are constantly applying for new leases, both to explore and to frack. You cut that off, we're going to spiral downward. They have to be constantly renewed. There has to be new exploration. There has to be. So when she's saying, oh, no, don't worry, we'll let you keep fracking. All of those wells, those areas are going to dry up. You have to constantly renew new leases. When they say, no, we're not gonna, what they're saying is we're gonna stop this. So what you're gonna see is oil and natural gas prices in the country and in the world spike through the ether. And we can't afford it. We can't afford it right now. Not when we're already seeing over 20% increase inflation-wise in price of food. Cannot. If you want to eat, you may not like Donald Trump, but you need to go vote for him, and you need to vote for you need to drag everyone you know with you. First, the good news. Folks are getting it in North Carolina. This is a flip for Republicans. Trump a couple years ago was saying, hey, bank your votes for election day. Go ahead. Wait till the last moment to vote. This time, the message is the exact opposite from the Trump campaign, the RNC, and from me. Go ahead and vote early. You gotta vote early. You wait till the last day. There's this sort of conspiracy theory online that, well, you know, I'm going to make it hard on the Democrats. They won't know how many votes they need to steal. No, they'll just roll out three voting machines when you need seven and back the lines up for 6 hours in Republican precincts. And then you'll be in a situation where, well, I told my boss I'd be gone for 2 hours, not all day. I got to go back. I can't vote. It's the kind of power you hand them. You need to vote early. You need to go ahead, especially up there in North Carolina. You just heard the poll that Lee had, has her ahead in North Carolina. There's other polls out this morning that have him ahead in North Carolina. But the good news is that folks are getting it, and you need to join them. Unbelievable numbers out over the weekend in terms of just turnout in some of these counties, but not others. And let me tell you why you need to poll right now, because they cannot be allowed to win given what they did. And that is delay the deployment of the military, leaving people stranded for almost a week on purpose. Again, Roy Cooper, Democrat governor of North Carolina, requested the military be dispatched on Friday. That was September 27th, the very day that Helene hit. Joe Biden would not dispatch the military for five, almost 6 days. Over 100 helicopters sitting there, right there at the base. He only dispatched eight. Why? They want people stranded. And they are. Those five counties, what a mess. And we're already seeing it. What I feared would happen, we're seeing. This is the bad news, okay? Turnout extremely light in those five counties. But the good news is Republicans are breaking records in other not storm-ravaged counties, okay? So David Axelrod told us, he is kind of the godfather of the Democrat Party, chief strategist really for the Democrat Party, built Barack Obama's career. And he told us, hey, listen, what we're figuring is these Republicans are in far-flung areas. They're in these five counties. There's multiple blocked roads in their way. They're not going to get to vote. Our people in Buncombe County, which is Asheville, it's highly blue county, they're closer in. They're going to get to vote. This is why they did not dispatch the military. The idea was literally to leave these people high and dry and stranded to keep them from getting to the polls. And folks, when you understand what the situation is out there, no running water, cell phone towers are damaged or down, no electricity. It is, if you are living in those kinds of like ash, Allegheny, parts of them, in some cases, most of them, you are cut off from civilization. It's like the miniseries Lost. You're just done. And that's the plan. That is why they withheld the military. Okay, this is just to give you some idea. This is Tony Cajola. He's an Asheville business owner, but he's talking about his visit to Swannanoa, okay? Swannanoa is about 9-10 miles outside of Asheville, but it's still in Buncombe County, okay? So it's still pretty close in. When you look at Ash and Allegheny and Avery and all these, Mitchell and all these other counties, they're much further out than Swannanoa. This is where we need the Trump numbers to come in, and they're not coming in right now. This could literally cost the state. Listen to him describe what this is just Swannanoa, again, about 9-10 miles outside of Asheville, but still within Buncombe County, what it looks like. And these are Republican areas as soon as you go outside of Asheville. Okay, here he is. He's on Fox News this morning. Here we go.
Well, yeah, I was in Swannanoa a couple of days ago, and there's still areas of Swannanoa that's cut off. So as the river gets closer to the main road, I think just the sheer devastation will be incredibly impactful for his visit. And when you see, you know, you were seeing some of my stuff in our village, but there are other villages. We're one of many villages, but Swannanoa particularly got hit very hard. That's where the food bank was. Thank goodness they were just starting to transition to another area. So a lot of their food, which goes out to you know, the underserved, the food underserved in Western North Carolina as part of the Feeding America program. You know, completely. They're just areas where the river switched back and it was flowing. It just, you just have debris fields. Wipe things out.
This wipes everything out. I mean, houses are gone. We're even hearing the, like, parts of Buncombe County and surrounding counties are saying you're going to have sewage till next year. Here's what you need to do. You need to pull the weight for them. The Democrats cannot be rewarded for the inhumane way that they have treated Western North Carolina, in particular these five counties. And the good news is voters are getting it and they're picking up the slack. They are voting early. Listen to this. 2020, 40% of the early voting crowd was Democrat. 31% was Republican. Today, 33% of the early voting crowd is Democrat. 35% is Republican. That is a record. And the numbers are absolutely shattering previous records. Republicans are turning out higher than they have as a percentage in the rest of these Helene, not, you know, non-Helene impacted counties. Okay. You're pulling your weight, but you got to pull more. It's not good enough. If you live in North Carolina with early voting, it is not good enough to just take yourself. Who else are you taking? Go through your Rolodex, go through your phone, take a look at your phone. Who do I know? Who is in my family? Gosh, I haven't talked to them in 2 years. Get uncomfortable. Send them a text. It's awkward. I know. If you think they'll vote for Trump, turn them out. I'm doing the same thing with some of my far-flung relations. I'm just sending. And by the way, if you want to send them something, pinned to the top of my Twitter account, it's called Swamp the Vote. It's everything you need to know no matter what swing state you are in. SwampTheVoteUSA.com. SwampTheVoteUSA.com. You put your name and address in. It'll tell you where your early voting location is. It's often not the same place you normally vote. SwampTheVote.com. Or just, it's pinned to the top of my Twitter account. I'm really sorry to you Battleground podcast listeners. Normally the Battleground podcast goes there. So you're going to have to dig for the podcast. I'm sorry, but I got to get these people to the polls. SwampTheVoteUSA.com. Do not wait till election day. Folks, the lines were so long on the first day of early voting that we had the GOP chairman of Transylvania County say, look, I watched 2-3% of the vote pull up in their cars and then drive away. It was too long. What do you think election day is going to be like? And I'll tell you what they do. We have seen this all over the country. You need 7 machines in that precinct. It's heavily Republican. Oops, did we only deploy 3? Sorry about that. Oh, gosh, that means the line's going to be what, 6 hours? Oh, do you have to go to work today? So sorry. You should have voted early. You're going to see that in Republican precincts. They're going to pull everything. Do not put this power in their hands. Bank your vote. Do it. Trump has said to do it. The RNC has said to do it. Lara Trump has said to do it. We're not going to play games this time and be like, oh, I'll wait till the last day. You can't. You put everything in your hands. Folks, what if the electricity goes out? What if there's a storm? What if the internet goes down? What if the machines go offline? Or what if they use one of the usual tricks they use, which is, hey, we'll deploy too few machines to the Republican areas. Do not give them that kind of power. Bank your vote. Do it now. Here's the other thing. If you are not registered, if that person that you have talked into voting is not registered, no big deal in North Carolina, okay? Because you can take them and you can still register in person only, during early voting. So that's not an excuse. Well, I'm not registered. Doesn't matter. Take them. You can register. If your registration has lapsed because you haven't voted, that's okay too. You can go take care of that during early voting, but you have to vote. We're going to have to pull our weight for those 5 counties that the federal government has left isolated on purpose. It is an election tactic. We have to vote for those poor people. God knows how many dead are out there. We still don't even know. And they like it that way, at least till this election's over. So if you're in North Carolina, if you're in Georgia, early voting has started. Vote now. Vote now. Vote now. We've got to turn the vote out now. Do you remember what they did in Georgia? Oh, look, water main break. Oops. They're going to pull all these kinds of shenanigans. Don't give them that kind of power. Vote now. Go to SwampTheVoteUSA.com, SwampTheVoteUSA.com to find out where your early voting precinct is. This is great for South Carolina as well. We'll be right back. Yow! That's what I said last week when Fox News' Bret Baier finally dragged an apology out of Her Highness for all the dead raped women. And in Lake and Riley's case, woman who refused to be raped and was beaten to death for it by an illegal immigrant. One, were it not for Democrat policies, both Sanctuary City and at the border, who should be alive today? Bret Baier finally caused Her Highness to have to acknowledge that fact last week, giving her an opportunity to apologize to the families of the dead who died at the hands of the illegal immigrants that were released. And he was talking about Jocelyn Nungri, 12, brutally tortured and raped for over an hour, her body stuffed in a culvert like trash afterward. And one of the illegal immigrants, by the way, both of them ended up being Tren de Aragua. One of the illegal immigrants we knew there were problems with when we caught him at the border. We caught him. He turned himself in. We put a monitoring ankle bracelet on him. Why? He was dangerous. He has so little respect for, there's no rule of law in this country when it comes to illegal immigrants. He has so little respect for whatever passes as rule of law. He committed that heinous act with a 12-year-old he kidnapped that I just described while wearing Kamala's monitoring bracelet. I get upset just talking about it. Bret Baier finally, after asking Her Highness two times to apologize to the families of the dead, got some kind of reaction from her. Here's what it sounded like. And this is, of course, last week.
Jocelyn Nungri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley, they are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
Those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future
Okay, so she's
harm
blaming Donald
occur.
Trump for not backing that border bill that would have mandated by law that 1.8 million illegals be let in every year before we could close that border down. In other words, they want to take away from Trump any ability to stop the flood over the border. It would have made it worse. So she's trying to blame Trump. Again, these illegals were let in long before any of these bills were even filed. So Jocelyn Nungri, her mom, God, 12 years old. I can't. Brutally raped and murdered by two Tren de Aragua gang members who should have never been let into this country. Again, one of them while wearing a monitoring bracelet. Is asked, how do you feel about that? Is that an apology? That count is an apology? She's never called you. She is the border czar. She's never called you. Is it good enough? She went on Fox News. Here's her answer.
Bret Baier asked the vice president, if families like yours deserve an apology from her and her administration. So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. But let's talk about what is happening right now with an individual who does not want to participate in solutions. Let's talk about that as well.
So she says that she is sorry for your loss, but then she shifted Jocelyn's story to Trump. What do you think about that?
I think she's completely full of it. She is not a sincere woman at all. She has no sympathy, no empathy to her. She's supposed to, if she wants to run this country, she needs to take into consideration the families that she has affected with these policies that she has allowed and that she has approved. This is, it's unacceptable that she gave me a very empty half apology to just shift like she always does in every interview. She has to somehow shift it over to Mr. Trump, and that makes absolutely no sense. Why can't you just take accountability like you should and actually try to make a difference, maybe be humane and actually reach out to families that you have affected?
I don't know how her mom is holding it together. Honest to God, I don't know. But she continues to just advocate for her daughter. It's beautiful and so sad that she has to do this. By the way, those are the names we know. Those are the big cases. Let me remind you from Bill Malusian, how many illegals with criminal records for rape and murder were let into this country?
What we've learned from the acting ICE director via this letter to Congressman Tony Gonzalez is right now there are over 13,000 illegal aliens convicted of homicide who are roaming the United States right now. There are another 15,811 illegal aliens roaming the country right now who have been convicted of sexual assault. And there are even more who are facing charges for homicide and charges for sexual assault. So this just...
You're listening to The Tara Show. Well, folks, what needs to happen to save women's sports is finally happening. There's only one way we save women's sports. We refuse to play men. Because if we do not, women's sports can be destroyed either way. It could be on our terms or on theirs. Because what is going to happen is all of the key positions on these women's teams, particularly these collegiate teams, are going to be eventually, it's going to be men. And the woman will have to, you know, go to the kitchen. The woman will have to make way for the man. And the woman will only get to occupy those key positions on sports teams if the man is okay with it. That's where we are. That's where the left has us. It's bizarre, but it's where we are. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. Let me tell you why. We've had three things happen the last 2 weeks that are devastating for men who want to dominate women's sports and kick women out. Number one, Georgia state college system has told the NCAA, we do not want our women to have to play men. Formally requested the NCAA stop allowing men to play women's sports. It's dangerous and it's not fair. We're beginning to see this rash of teams all over the country boycott games. And I mean at huge expense to themselves, hurting their records, costing them national qualifications to move into playoffs, potentially. We just saw it with volleyball last week. Riley Gaines pointing out it's going on right now in soccer. Bishop Brady High School varsity girls soccer team in New Hampshire just forfeited a match, accepted a loss against an opposing team whose star player is a dude. That is not fair. That is not fair to have to guard an offensive player like that. And what's more, it's dangerous. And they're saying, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Good. This is how we win, because we're going to lose no matter what. And you know what's a shame? These girls have worked so hard. And you can't get that couple of years back you have in your career where, you know, you're playing high school varsity, maybe you're playing college. You can't get them back. The left's determined to take them. You can't get those back, but you can save your sports. Look, like I said, this is where this is going with the left. You're going to see these schools, just to keep up, they're going to have to recruit men specifically for these star positions in order to keep up with the other teams that have recruited men specifically for these positions, or those teams will lose. These coaches will be forced to put men in women's positions just to, you know, keep the upper hand. We're going to lose our sports. So refuse to play. Do not be a prop in a play where we're all pretending that the main character is a woman when we all know the main character is a man, and it's not fair, and he would not be in a star position on these teams if he were playing men with men where he belongs. Like, identify as a woman all you want. I don't care. Do whatever you want. It's America. But don't force everyone else to go along with your delusion at the expense of women's sports. That is not fair. And women must refuse to be props in this ridiculous passion play. They must refuse to be props. And these women are doing it. It's catching on. This is the way, Riley Gaines says. And it is. It's the way. All right, we'll be right back.